Good morning, all. So today's Bible reading is going to be 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1 until chapter 4, verse 1. So again, that's 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1 until the end of chapter 4, verse 1. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling to the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling, as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family, from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons uttered blasphemes against God, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." Samuel lay down until morning, and then he opened the doors to the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision, but Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son." Samuel answered, "Here I am." "What was it he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. And Samuel's word came to all Israel. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. Hello, everyone. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Connor. I'm the ministry trainee at Christchurch Balham. And Andy is on holiday for this week, a well-deserved rest. So we're kind of having this just one-off sermon. And it should be a fun one from the little passage that we just read. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to steal some kind of excellent words from that passage. "Speak, Lord, your servant listens." Let me pray that now. Father, we pray that you would speak today. And Father, we pray that you would humble us, that we may listen to your word. Amen. Amen. It's been an interesting couple of weeks, hasn't it? The unjust killing of George Floyd has, well, it's lit a fuse that has exploded around the world. There's protests happening everywhere, isn't it? Just minutes away from where many of us live. It's all quite crazy. And there's been quite a sad thing that's happened. It hasn't been a very good showing by so-called Christian leaders, both present and past. You guys would have seen this image of Trump kind of holding the Bible in front of St. John's Church. And then the headlines broke. President moves peaceful protest for church photo shoot. It's not been a good showing. And it's not been a good showing for past Christian leaders either. You had also seen this happen. The tearing down of the statue of Edward Colston. See, I didn't know much about Edward Colston, so I thought I'd go on and Google him. And on top of the kind of horrendous things he did being part of the slave trade, he was also quite sadly a Christian leader. He started schools and hospitals, but then refused care to those who weren't Christian. It's saddening. These so-called Christian leaders have let us down. And we might be thinking, in all this, is God going to say anything? Because if I point my ear towards heaven, it doesn't really feel like it. In the face of this kind of so-called Christian leadership, is God going to speak? Look, sadly, kind of corrupt spiritual leaders is nothing new in the world, and it's nothing new in the Bible. We're jumping into a part of the Bible that has very corrupt spiritual leaders. Let me get our bearings for us. So we're coming in at 1 Samuel. And see, we've gone past creation. We've gone past Abraham and the formation of Israel. We've gone past Moses and the Exodus. We've gone past kind of conquering the promised land. And we are here. We're right at the end of Judges in 1 Samuel. And as a kind of snippet of what Judges has been like, well, it's been a spiraling disaster. The kind of judges, the people that went to be the spiritual leaders of Israel, have gotten worse and worse and worse. The judge in our passage is also meant to be the high priest of Israel. So he doesn't just kind of rule Israel, he's also meant to be responsible for their spiritual health. That judge is called Eli. And now, here's a problem. Because of this film, I always thought Eli was a great guy. I thought he was a good guy. But it turns out, from verses chapters 1 and 2 of 1 Samuel, he really isn't a good guy. See, Eli's kind of big problem is that he doesn't control his sons. His sons were also priests in the temple. And get this, the Bible calls them worthless. Here's just a snapshot of some of the things that they did. When people would come to bring sacrifices, kind of meat sacrifices, they would order them to give them to them. Eli's sons would steal the meat of sacrifices, and if people refused, well, they would beat them. Also, they would have sex with the women who were meant to be serving at the temple. They were awful. And Eli was complicit. The Bible says he honored his sons more than God. They did not listen to God, and it seems that God had gone quiet. But also, throughout kind of the first two chapters, we've been getting this kind of mention of this other character, and we get him as well at the beginning of this chapter. Samuel. Verse 1 says, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. It's quite a sad situation, isn't it? It's quite tragic. God is quiet. You have corrupt leaders. And is God going to say anything? Well, let's see what happens in the story. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. It's important that we kind of notice the details in these stories. And we get this detail straight away. Eli's eyes had become so weak, he couldn't even really see. And that seems to be not just a description of his physical state, but that of his spiritual state too. See, Eli, he had lost sight of Israel. He had lost sight of his sons, and he had lost sight of God. It is bad. But then we get this interesting line. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. See, in the temple, there was this lamp, and it was kind of more like a candle, and it was to be lit each night and would burn from evening till morning. And it was this statute of God's presence. And it had not yet gone out. Maybe this is just a flicker of hope. A flicker of hope that God might be doing something. And then we get a bit more hope. See, this boy that had been popping up in our story, well, he's lying down in the house of the Lord, where the ark was. The kind of author wants you to see, look, Samuel and God, they're close. They're close at the moment. Kind of so close that he's sleeping near where the ark was. And then we get this absolutely massive flicker of hope. Then the Lord called Samuel. Oh. But our flicker is snuffed out. Even the boy who sleeps near God doesn't understand when God is speaking. He thinks it's old, compromised Eli. So Eli says, I did not call. Go back, lie down, ignore it. But our flicker comes again. And this time, God even says Samuel's name, Samuel. Oh, but snuffed again. He thinks it's Eli, back to Eli. And what does he say? I did not call. Go back, lie down. And we've got to ask this question. Why is there this kind of hearing but not hearing? What is the big problem here? Well, verse 7 tells us loud and clear, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not been revealed to him. Look, this is tragic. The boy who was raised by the high priest, Eli, who lives in the temple, who sleeps near the ark, doesn't know the word of the Lord. I mean, no one in Israel has got a better shot than Samuel, but he doesn't know the word. I mean, Israel must be a mess. It's tragic how far Israel had fallen. And before we kind of move on from this too quick, it's worth pausing here and acknowledging that, right? it is possible to be this close to religion, to be this involved in religion, and not know is a sad reality, isn't it? Up and down this country, there'll be thousands of people who go to church, who even before lockdown made the tea and the coffee, who even played in the band, who even led the services, who even preached, and they do not know the Lord. It is a tragedy. But here's the thing, even if that is you feeling that right now, it needn't be a tragedy. You can come to know the Lord. Why? Because God keeps calling. That's what happens in our story. God calls a third time, Samuel. And look, this time, even old, compromised Eli knows something is up. And even old, compromised leaders can cite excellent prayers. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. This is kind of a microcosm of Eli's problem, isn't it? See, he knows the words. He knows the prayers to pray, but clearly never prays them. But now, it does appear God is doing something new. Now it appears God speaks, because the Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, Samuel, Samuel. See, the Lord is there. And he's kind of speaking in the triumphant, era-defining way he has done before. Abraham, Abraham, Jacob, Jacob, Moses, Moses, Samuel, Samuel, God speaks. And come on, Samuel prays that excellent prayer, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And I guess what we're all wondering is what is God going to say? Well, God says something quite scary. But it is exactly what he needs to. See, God speaks judgment on corrupt leaders. We might not get that from the first line. The first line kind of almost sounds nice if you don't read on. See, I'm about to do something new in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. It's almost nice. But see, that tingle is tingle in fear. So much fear that you can feel it. It's like the sailor who's standing before a ginormous wave. That's the judgment that is coming on Eli, and people will be able to feel it. God says this to Eli. At that time, I will carry against Eli, he says this to Samuel about Eli, everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons blasphemed God, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering. See, God speaks, and that means he speaks judgment against corrupt leaders. And that sounds scary, doesn't it? But isn't it exactly what Israel needs? See, they were being led away by these leaders, led into darkness, dragged away from the life-giving good God. how could God do anything else but judge these corrupt leaders? Even kind of the most terrifying bit of this judgment makes some sense. That the guilt of Heli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice. Well, if you remember, Eli's sons have been treating those sacrifices with utter contempt. They've been stealing the meat of sacrifices so they could fatten themselves, cutting themselves off by the very thing that might work to save them. See, God's judgment is just. And look, I want to suggest that God speaking judgment to corrupt leaders sounds scary, but is very good, even for us. See, without God, there is no real justice. I think one of the sad things about the kind of pulling down of the statue of Edward Colston is that there wasn't real justice, was there? I mean, they pulled down the statue, not Edward Colston. The real Edward Colston, despite all the things that he did, died a rich hero in the eyes of many. And if the here and now is the only place that we get justice, well, the most evil, most corrupt leaders, they've all got away with it. See, only God can bring real justice. And when God speaks, he does. I'm going to jump back into our story and see Samuel has heard God speak, but now he needs to speak. And you can imagine how difficult that would be, right? Little Samuel. You can imagine how kind of gingerly, he opens up the temple that morning, trying to not wake up Eli, terrified of what he's going to have to say. But he doesn't just forget. Eli doesn't forget. He asks, and brave prophet Samuel tells him everything. He hid nothing. This is Eli's response. He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes. That this is the response of a man who knows he's wrong and accepts it. But sadly, notice the lack of repentance. It's acceptant, not repentant. And look, this will be the response of every corrupt spiritual leader one day. He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes. But now we get to some really good news. See, finally, God speaks to all his people. Let me read these verses. The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. All Israel, from Dan, that's the most northern tip of Israel, to Beersheba, which is the most southern tip, so everyone recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh. And there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. And Samuel's word came to all Israel. Notice this really important point. The word of God and the word of Samuel become interchangeable. God speaks to his people through his prophet. And look, if we take a step back and we look at the movement of the passage, it makes this point loud and clear. Verse 1, in those days, the word of the Lord was rare and there were not many visions. last verse of our little passage, and Samuel's word came to all Israel. God speaks. And it's interesting that maybe, unlike us, Israel are not disappointed that they are not the ones who heard directly from God. See, Israel, they're not the ones who heard God audibly. But that doesn't matter. See, they really do hear God speak through Samuel. And that shows us this kind of super important point. Israel don't all need to be Samuel. They need a Samuel. And maybe that applies to us. That we might be looking at, we don't all need to be Samuel. We need a Samuel. It's tempting, isn't it, to place ourselves as the main character in Bible stories. But I suggest if you do that with this one, you might end up disappointed and miss the ultimate glory. See, if we make ourselves Samuel here and expect to audibly hear God today, and then we don't, we'll be devastated. We might even think, is there something wrong with us? Do I have enough faith? And although I have no doubt that God can speak like that, it appears not to be the kind of biblical norm. I mean, this story where God audibly speaks to Samuel makes it into the Bible because it's extraordinary, not ordinary. And then also, look, there is a much almost better reason to make ourselves not Samuel, because if we are not Samuel, then someone else is. See, if we're just the average person in Israel, kind of normal person on the street, then we'll be on the lookout. We'll be on the lookout for a Samuel, a prophet who hears God, who speaks against corrupt leaders and to God's people. And if we look, we certainly find one. It's Jesus, right? The kind of gospel writers go out of their way to show us Jesus is a new and better Samuel. Let me give you just some examples of this. Look, Samuel had this kind of miraculous birth through Hannah, who was barren, and then the Lord gives her Samuel. And Jesus, as we know, kind of has the miraculous birth. After that, Samuel's mother sings this kind of beautiful theological song about reversals and humbling, and famously, Mary does exactly the same. Luke even steals almost word for word from 1 Samuel. So this is from 1 Samuel, and the boy Samuel continued to grow in stature and in favor with the Lord and with people. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. See, the Gospels are screaming, Jesus is a new and better Samuel. And then what does Jesus do when he comes on the scene? Well, he speaks judgment against corrupt spiritual leaders. Woe to you, experts in the law. That's to the Pharisees. You have taken away the key to knowledge. You yourselves have not entered, and you have hindered those from entering. Jesus speaks judgment over corrupt leaders. But wonderfully, he also speaks to God's people, even people that we might not expect. Jesus goes out and he speaks to the prostitute, the tax collector, and people come and hear his words. So look, for us today, what does this say? Well, it says we don't need to go around pointing our ear to heaven, waiting for God to speak through the clouds. No, God has spoken. God is not quiet. He has spoken fully and completely through his perfect prophet, Jesus. And if you're listening today and you're a Christian, I hope that gives you really great confidence in the words of the Bible. See, God has spoken and is still speaking through it. I know people like to claim that the kind of, especially the New Testament, is this kind of series of Chinese whispers passed from one person to the next person, 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 until 1,000 years later, someone writes it down and it comes to us and kind of gets changed along the way. Well, have you ever wondered what is the litmus test for making it into the New Testament? Because there's a lot of great Christian authors, aren't there? But they don't make it into the Bible. See, what makes you get into the Bible is how close you are to Jesus. You cannot be more than 2 degrees of separation away. You're either Jesus' follower who writes down what he says and then it comes to us, or the scribe of a Jesus follower who writes it down and it comes to us. The New Testament is Jesus' words in action. God is speaking through them. So that means if we want to know what God thinks about the spiritually corrupt leaders, well, look at God's word. He is speaking. You want to know what's best for human flourishing? Well, look at God's word. He is speaking. And I really hope that kind of might change our attitude towards kind of daily Bible reading. You might be someone who's in the habit of reading the Bible every day. Well, when you sit down to read your Bible tomorrow, know this. That is God's word that he speaks to us. If you're not in the habit of reading the Bible every day, what better reason to start than to know that it is God's word speaking to us? Why not tomorrow? Sit down. Use that kind of excellent prayer. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening, and see what God wants to say. It's got to change the way we view church, right? We're not just a group of people coming and having a lovely time, although we do. We are people who come to hear God speak, to change us, to mold us into his community. And listen, if you're not a Christian and you're hearing this, thank you for making it this far. Well done. But hear our claim. Our claim is that God speaks. We believe Jesus' words are God's words. So if you want to know God, you can. And that's what we want to offer as a church. We run a course called Christianity Explored. Colin's going to give you the details later. And it's a course that over a few weeks, in an evening, looks through Mark's gospel, looks at God's words, which are there for us to look at and have an idea of what we think. If you are someone who is interested in hearing God speak, then why not come along to Christianity Explored and see what you think? God speaks. Let me finish with these words, from Hebrews, the beginning of Hebrews. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets, like Samuel, at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. God speaks. Now let me pray. Father, thank you so much that you speak. Thank you that you are not a quiet God. Thank you that that means we can have utter confidence that you will one day deal with all the corrupt leaders in the world. And thank you that that means we can hear you today. I pray that we would keep on coming to do that, coming to hear you speak. Amen.